Welcome to our Streams International Ministry Podcast with Prophet Jared Nusulu, PhD, and Prophetess Gabriella Nusulu. Experience prophetic revelation teachings, personal prophecies, healing, deliverance, breakthrough. You are now listening to a teaching recorded at one of our live church services.
So I want us to open our Bibles to the book of John. Hallelujah. The book of John, chapter 11. I'm just going to start from there, and we'll see how God leads us. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus was speaking to Martha at this point, when Lazarus was dead for a while, for about 4 days. We recorded that Jesus himself wanted him to be there for long enough so that they wouldn't say, oh, he only slept. So the man was dead, actually dead. Was actually possibly smelly. So when Jesus came, he was speaking and conversing with Martha. The Bible says, and Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. So in essence, Jesus is just telling us here that he is the resurrection and the life. And if you have him, you have life. No dryness, nothing dead, nothing weakling. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, somebody. Because that's the original plan of God. We were supposed to be immortal beings. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me just take us back a bit to the Garden of Eden. There was that tree of the fruit of what? Tree of life. And the other one was the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, can you imagine what would have happened if the man ate the tree of life? He will have lived perpetually. He will have been with God. He will have been a friend to God for life. He will have carried the nature of God, even though sin was in the garden. But because, assuming he ate that tree of life, what will have happened was that he will always be walking past the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He will not be interested in it. Why? Because he is carrying the nature of God. He is carrying life itself. So death will not appeal to him. Death will not appeal to you in the name of Jesus. So this is the original plan of God, that we live forever. Actually, Adam lived how many years? The prophet was speaking about it the other day, 900 and whatever, about 900 years. Can you imagine? 900 years. But that's not even the thoughts and the intention of God. We were supposed to live for life. That's why when he was speaking with Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And anyone who believes in me will have life. Even though he died, he will still have life. And anyone who lives in me and believes, he will not die. So the intention of God is to give us life itself. No wonder the Bible was speaking. He said, Jesus has come to give us life and life abundantly. But the devil, what he has come to do is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So every good and perfect gift comes only from God. Any other gift is from the devil. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, somebody. We cannot really talk about resurrection without talking about, the processes that happen. So I'm going to start from where it started. And then I believe my pastors and other ministers will talk more on it. Man fell by eating what he was not supposed to eat. And God is not a liar. He didn't want him to die, but because he has spoken, so that his word might be fulfilled, man had to die. But God in his wisdom, can you just put your hands together for God? This God is so wonderful, so merciful. The devil was standing beside him. He said, this man, I have won. This man has to die. This man has to die. God in his wisdom, I understand you. The Bible says he took a lamp. Now he transferred the sin of the man onto the lamp. And he shed the blood of the lamb. So blood was shed. The Bible says the life of what? Of an animal or so is what is in its blood. So blood was shed. The devil has no more anything. I mean, he's been flawed. He is disappointed because at least blood has been shed. Something has been killed in place of man. But we thank God because all this while in the Old Testament, every time a man sins, the blood covers the sin. There was no forgiveness. The blood only what? Covered up the sin. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, somebody. So God was looking for a better opportunity, a better way to save man back to himself. And I just pray that if you can just grasp this understanding, your prayer life will shift from, you know, praying and asking from the point, I mean, and you'll be praying like someone who is victorious already, who knows that victory is yours, who knows that life is yours, who knows that you are not permitted to die again. So we saw that in the Old Testament, every time somebody sins, you just go there and kill a ram and just cover up your sin. So there was so much sin in the sin bank. Let me put that to you. There was sin in the sin bank. It was full. But we thank God because God in his infinite mercy. The Bible says, in John chapter 3 verse 16, God so much loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall what? Have eternal life. That same life that, you know, the first Adam should have eaten in the Garden of Eden. Now, what he did was to, take Christ and make him, the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. He is still the life. Hallelujah. The tree in the middle of the garden, which is the tree of life, is that life. Can you imagine if Adam has eaten of that fruit from the beginning? Everything will have worked fine. But we are human, and God knows us, and God loves us in spite of our shame, in spite of our failings. So Christ came as the tree of life. That whosoever shall have a taste of him, whosoever shall confess his name, shall be what? Saved. Perpetual life. Now, the work of salvation will not be complete if it only meant that our spiritual life, our afterlife is secured. Hallelujah. I may not be able to go through all the verses that I've prepared today, but I just want you to grasp the understanding. When Christ came, he did not only forgive our sins. When he was nailed on the cross, he took his blood as a sin offering. The requirement for forgiveness. For the Bible says, every soul who sins shall die. The sinful man, Adam, the first Adam sinned, so he was supposed to die. And everyone in his lineage were meant for that. But the second Adam, because he had no sin at all, yet he presented his blood. I'm going somewhere, just listen to me carefully. I know that God is going to open our eyes of understanding in the name of Jesus. He took the blood. This is a sin offering. Amen? Not only that, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 from verse 3, Bible was speaking, he said, He himself bore our sicknesses, our diseases, every consequence of sin. He bore them on his body. He nailed them on the cross, and he went into the grave with the blood and the consequences of sin to pay the price. One man's sin, another man paid the price. Now, because the price is paid, let me use another example so that you grasp what I'm trying to say. If you take a loan, you're not only going to pay for the loan, you are going to pay for the interest. Is that not so? Now, somebody comes and pays off your loan and pays off the interest. Is anyone going to ask you to pay any loan or interest anymore? So Christ came to pay not only the loan, not only the interest. Hallelujah. So therefore, sin has no place again in life. In fact, we are not under laws. That's why they keep saying we are not under any law. Because he said, in the last day, I will send forth my spirit. And inside your heart, I will write my laws. We will become the nature of God. We become like God. And we just, we just walk in that likeness. It will not be difficult for us to fulfill the law. In fact, we will fulfill the law much better than when they were doing it by works. Hallelujah. Because it's not by power, neither is it by might, but by his spirit. Because we carry his spirit in this dispensation, because we have the Holy Spirit, we are able even to do better than they were doing before. Hallelujah. So, sin has been dealt with. No wonder the Bible tells us clearly that when God looks at you, he will not impute sin on you. Even though you mess up, but that's not a guarantee that we should just live in sin. So he did not only pay for the sin, he paid for the consequences. I mean, every evil that comes with, falling into sin. I mean, the curses, the disappointment, the failure, the shame, the weeping, the pain, the sorrow is paid for in full. So, no one is going to ask you for any interest. No one is going to come to you and say, you should be sick. That's what I'm saying. Because God has come to give us life. Abundance of life. Dryness, weakness, failure, disappointment has been paid for. If you understand this, you will begin to walk like someone who is victorious. Your prayer life will change. You will begin to feel more confident. May that be your story in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. Salvation will not be complete if it's only for that we will enter heaven and will live perpetually. Mm-mm-mm. It means salvation is not perfect. But the salvation that God did is perfect. He said it's done. It means he has taken us back to the Garden of Eden. And we have eaten of the fruit of the tree of life. Because he himself is life. The way, the truth, and the life. So you have eaten of the tree of life. You can no longer be dead in any area of your life. Remember, Adam was living in that garden. And he was, just as I said, if he had eaten of the tree of life, sin was still in the garden. Isn't that so? But because he has eaten of the tree of life, he now has life. Even if he eats anything, he cannot die anymore. It's too late. Too late for the devil. It's too late for the devil in your life. That's what I'm saying. The fact that you receive Christ, The tree of life lives in you. It is too late for the devil. That does not mean we should like to enjoy sin. I'm not going to talk about sin, but it does not give us the license to live the way we want. Because we know, of course, we know that God is not going to impute sin on any, because it's been paid for. So there is no more payment that is required. God, when God sees you, he says, your sins are far as east is far from the west. So are your sins far from me. He said, I will remember their sins no more. Why? Because somebody paid. It's over. But that does not mean we should live in sin. Because what sin does is simple. We know, and we have read it several times. If a child remains a child, it's only child that children that falls and make mistakes every time. Adults should not fall. If a child remains a child, he will not be better than a slave. Hallelujah. Because now we carry the nature of God. In fact, we will live more righteous. It's even easier for us to live a righteous life than them in those days. Because it was by works then. This time around, it is by his grace. And because you carry the nature of God, life itself, anything dry, anything dead will not appeal to you. And even if you are sick or you are peradventure, eat something that is dead, you will consume that deadness. No wonder the Bible says he overcame the dead. I mean, he punished the grave. He destroyed the grave. He destroyed death. May your mind, may your spirit, may your body, may everything about you destroy everything that is contrary to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. Praise the Lord. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so is your sin removed from him. Your transgressions removed from him. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts, I will remember no more. It means, you know, it was because of sin that causes pain, childbearing pain, sweating to eat. It was because of that that it came. Now, because sin has been paid for, and he has nailed on the cross all those pain, all those sorrows, all those worries, you are not permitted to be sick. You are not permitted to be sad. You are not permitted to experience lack. And if you are experiencing it, you can deal with it. Because there is a tree of life. The prophet said there is a generator inside of you. Even though things might not be working well now, you can restart it. You can refresh your computer. And it begins to perform well in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, somebody. I use another example here. It can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. I won't bother to read it. Bible says, if a woman is married, he is bound to that one, husband, for life. But if the husband dies, is what? She is free. Before we become born again, sin was our master. Failure and disease was our friend. But the day Christ died on the cross and you confess Christ, that's why the Bible says when he went into the grave, we went with him. And when he rose, we rose with him. Means, therefore, the time you confess Christ, you went with him to the grave. It means also your sin went into, you were both separated. sin has no right over you anymore. All the consequences of sin has no power over you anymore. Because the devil and his weapons were put in the grave. And you rose up new. New with Christ as your husband. It means everything that your husband has is your right. Did you hear about Jesus being sick? No. So if the tree of life is inside of us, if the nature of God resides in us, we are not permitted to be sick. And we can rise up with anger and say, no, you foul spirit. You have been dealt with 2,000 years ago. You are not permitted in this body. It's actually the temple of the Holy Spirit. May that be your story. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. Praise the Lord. So I wrote here, I said, what brought death was sin. And sin brought the rat. The rat are the pain, the sorrow, the worry, every kind of disease. But if there is no longer sin, then there is no longer rat or rot. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. There is no longer sorrow. There is no longer pain. Because there is no longer sin. Hallelujah. It means that you have overcome mortality. You have overcome corruption. You have overcome deadness. You have overcome dryness. You have overcome failure. Disappointment, you have swallowed it up. May that be our story in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10 from verse 9 and 10, we know that he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, you will be saved. What you are doing there when you made that confession was you are eating the tree of life. And because he resides in you, you have a better chance and those in the old, because in those days he resides in the temple. If you want to pray in those days, you have to go to the temple. Hallelujah. But we thank God because he resides inside of us. He's so close to us, so close that it's just a matter of saying, Lord, I know you are here with me. And they will hear you. So it is possible to live a perfect life. We might not be there yet. But the intention of God and the ultimate aim is to build a kingdom that is perfect. A kingdom that is holy. Be thy holy as I am holy. And there is no need to struggle to be holy, because if he lives inside of us, by nature, we are like him. By nature, our passion for things that are evil or dead will no longer be there. I was using an example sometimes ago. Can you imagine someone who is a multi-billionaire? Mm-hmm. And he goes to the shopping mall and he sees an apple in the shopping mall, you know, and he picks it and hides it. Will he do that? He will buy the whole shopping mall if he needs to buy it. That's who you are. Sin will be so fleeting. You say, well, what's that? What for? Why will I? Why? That's just yak. Hallelujah. So our addictions, you know, it's just so easy. If truly we are born of him, If the nature of him resides in us, those things that we are addicted to, I'm not going to name them. Yeah. Hallelujah. But we know them. They are fleeting. You just think, what for? I'm too big for this. I have passed this level. That shall be your story in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. So the nature of God prevents us from living a life that is fleeting. It prevents us because ordinarily you just love the presence of God. You will love brightness. You will love things that are alive. It's just your nature. I mean, there's no, you can't change it. It's just how you are born. Hallelujah. Some of us have cats as pets. Some of us have seen pigs, live pigs before. How many of you have seen live pigs before? I know that some of us have not been to the farm before. It's all right. It's okay. But we have watched it on YouTube, right? Now, you know cats, they are very neat. Kai. How many of you know that cats are neat? Maybe some of us don't know yourself. Cats will clean up theirs. If you really have a cat, you will see they will clean up every spot. They are very, very neat. And pigs. Pigs, you know, they love it rough. If it's not rough, they are not there. So, as Christians, our nature is to be neat. I mean, can you find a cat go into the muddy water? Nah, you will never. If there is a cat that goes into a muddy water, then it might be, I don't know, it might be, no, it not even in Australia, it doesn't happen. In my country, cats and dogs, they are not friends. Yeah, they are neighbors. Or their housemates. So what am I trying to say? I am trying to say that your nature as God's nature makes it impossible for you to love sin. And even if you mess up, it does not mean that's the end for you. Because God will not impute it upon you. Hallelujah. But that's not a yardstick for us to live in sin. Because what it does, it takes the authority away from us. Even though we are his kids, even though we are his children, we don't have the authority if we live continuously in sin. And I know that God is going to help us in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, somebody. So it is not unlikely, it is not, you know, something that we have not seen before, that born agains go in, you know, struggles, are in pain, are worried, are struggling in life. It's obvious that is happening. Isn't that so? So I'm not going to tell you lie, but that's not the will of God. For he says in his word, my will for you is of good, not of evil, that you may come to an expected end. Hallelujah, somebody. But even though we may be persecuted, we are not done yet. We may be frustrated. It's not over with us yet. You can restart. You can refresh that computer. You can start it all over again. You can say, Lord, even though I fail, I know you still love me. And I'm not going to allow anything, the consequences of sin, to live with me. It means because you have life, you are able to swallow up those pain. You are able to swallow up those sorrow. You are able to swallow up those things that are against you. Because you have something inside of you. So it's impossible that we did not understand properly. That's why we're going through what we're going through. It is possible that at a time in our life, we are facing those issues. But it is also possible to stand your ground and tell the devil that I know my right, that I know who who I am, that I know the resurrection and the life is in me. Hallelujah. We may be facing impossible situations, and we'll just go quickly to Luke chapter 8 from verse 40 to 45. If I can read all, I will. If I can't, we will just paraphrase, and then you can read it at home. It's a popular passage in the Bible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 8. From verse 40, I am going to read from here. Praise the Lord. In this passage, Jesus was about to go and lift or restore or resurrect a child. I'm not going to read. It's a long passage, but I want you to read it at home. There are two miracles that happen in this passage. Number one is the woman with the issue of blood. Her situation has become impossible. She has gone everywhere. She has lost everything. Yet there was no solution. Hallelujah. We might be in certain similar situations like that in life. It's not impossible for us to come across such or even experience such in life. But she made up her mind that if only I can touch. And you know, I said something just recently. I said, in those days, it was even more difficult to get a miracle unless you see Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But here we are. We have Jesus Christ inside of us. Miracles should be flowing. I mean, we should live a life of miracles. There are times in my life where I say, no, this is enough. If only I can pray for one day. If only I can pray for two. Now let me say this. It is not about our prayer though. It's the finished work of salvation. It's your heart. It's your faith. But for me, I said, if only I can pray on this issue for one day, I must see result. I don't know whether you have gotten to that stage in life. Because if only I can fast for these 3 days, 3 days of resurrection, oh, things will happen. You need to get to that level in life when situation becomes so impossible. You make up your mind, no. If only I can pray. If only I can do this or this. It is what that woman did. If only I can touch the hem of his cloth, I shall be healed. And she got her healing. She was restored. She was in an impossible situation. She has lost blood. She has lost money, resources. Everything is gone for her. But she met Christ again. You have Christ inside of you. I want to challenge you that, look, put him to a test. The work of salvation is already finished already. But make up your mind and grab him and say, Lord, I will not leave you until you bless me. Put him to a test. Hold him by his hem. Tell him, Lord, you cannot leave me in this grave. You are the resurrection and the life. I cannot be in this situation because you are life and I carry you. I mean, I ate of the tree of life. And eating of it is not, it's so simple. It's just to confess. If you believe, that's what he said to that woman, if you believe. And believing is not something that you need to look for a dictionary to understand. It's just speaking it, just saying it. Even by saying it, it means you believe it. Because it's impossible for you. It's out of the abundance of the earth The mouth speaketh. So if you speak it, it means God will say, okay, yeah, it must be in the mind as well. So speaking it, it means that you have Christ, you have life, you have the resurrection. You can challenge God. This is what your word says. There shall be none sick in the land. That's what the Bible tells me. Why am I going through this situation? I mean, your resurrection power. It is written, Romans 8:11. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, which resides in you, will give your mortal bodies life. Hallelujah, somebody. We seem not to know who we carry. We seem not to know who we are. If your eyes are open, you will do wonders. You will ask for impossible things, and He will do it for you. Oftentimes, we don't want God to do so much because we don't want to burden Him. Burden Him. Put a burden on Him. Put a demand on Him. If your word says this, I mean, you can't lie. I mean, God cannot lie. Hallelujah. May your story change in the name of Jesus. So after this, the Bible says in verse 49, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well. You know, at this point in life, this guy, you know what it means for someone to die? He may have not seen anybody. You know, what he wanted Christ to do was to come and heal the child. Now, the enemy has taken a different turn. He's made it worse. The girl is now dead. He has not seen anywhere where somebody is raised up before. So his thought will be, oh, it's over. I mean, don't bother the teacher coming because the child is dead. Some of us will be in that situation. We have gotten to a point where they said, oh, this sickness, there is no cure. So because they said there is no cure, we leave ourselves to faith. We just say, okay, that's it. If we know who our teacher is, if we know that he is the resurrection and the life, I mean, out of clay, he molded man and he breathed to him inside of him and he became a living being. And that was not enough. He took of the rib, only a rib, and he made it into a woman. Is there something hard that he can't do? Is there a sickness? No, that's not my God. My own God says he is able. Out of nothing, he formed everything. I don't know about your God, but my God is able to do all things. By the shout of the Israelite, the wall of Jericho came down. By one man, Joshua, the Bible says the sun stood still and refuses to go down. It means you are not just ordinary. It means you are so powerful, but you are not engaging the power inside of you. I'm just trying to encourage someone here this morning. I don't know whether what they have told you. They may have told you is impossible. Not with my God. They might just say, oh, let's keep managing. Managing what? Not with my Father. He who brought a child from a woman who had not met a man.
Eh?
He is God. He is God. He is greater.
You don't worry about how he's going to do it. See, sometimes, oftentimes, what we do is we worry how he's going to do it. We want to think for him. We want those, will these bills be paid? How? Don't worry. Don't think about it. The more you think, the more the devil tells you it's impossible. And if you begin to think, he makes it even more worse. The Bible says, and they came to the decision and said, don't worry, the baby is dead. But he told him, just believe. For I am the resurrection and the life. In this dispensation, we don't need to go and go to Jerusalem or Israel or wherever to go and look for Jesus. The Jesus that we are looking for is inside of you and I. The power of life, the resurrection power is inside of you, inside of me. Hallelujah, somebody. And it's not because of who we are. It's just because he loved us. There's no, I mean, you can't argue with it. It's not because we are perfect. It is not because we are holy. He just loved us. That's all. Someone who had to come to die for me. Will he leave me in the grave? No, it's not possible. Not anymore. Repeat after me. Not anymore. Not anymore. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. Praise the Lord. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, verse 50, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridicule him, knowing that she was dead. There are things that may be dead in our life that we felt is impossible because we have never experienced anything like that before. But God will not do something that he has not done before. I mean, God always, you will have seen a sign in the past. When you look at the Bible, was it Elisha? Is it Elijah or Elijah? I can't remember. He laid upon a child who was dead. And the child, what? Came back to life. So if he did it then, why will he not do it now? If he did it in those days, is he not able to do it even now? I mean, our situation is not that bad. Thank God none of us is dead. Thank God we don't have someone who is dead. We still have people who are alive. It means that the situation is not too bad. If they are sick, means we can heal them because the generator is inside of us. Because I know most people, they are afraid. They want to think for God. How will he raise the dead? No, just do your part. Leave it to God. It's not your doing. In fact, if they say pray for somebody who's there, just do your part and leave it to God. But God is a surprising God. I have had stories here in this, my generation, where the dead were raised. He can still do it again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is nothing impossible with this God of ours. Hallelujah, somebody. And he went forward and said, do not weep.
is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called her, "Little girl, arise."
When they tell you it's over, close your ears to them. Hallelujah. When they tell you it's not possible, tell them. If I know some of us are ashamed to speak out. Mm-hmm. You are sitting at the doctor's chair beside him, and he's saying, "Oh, no, we'll just be managing this sickness. You have 2 years to live." I know you won't want to say, "I reject." But in your heart, say, not me. No, not me. Be angry. Be angry in your spirit. Because his will for you is of good, not of evil. In fact, his desire is that we live perpetually. And if the work of salvation has been truly, truly completed, he says, he will give them, he will make them go 100 years. It means they, at this stage, at this level that we are, no one should pass away until after 100 years. He said, in their old age, they will be strong and healthy. I wish I can throw away my glasses, but I'm going to get there too. Hallelujah. So I'm not speaking to you alone. I'm also speaking to myself. My wife knows. I will begin to read without the glasses. And when she says, just go and take the glasses now. But we will get there. Because we know. Eye is just the smallest thing that God has formed. It's one of the very smallest things that he made the seas. He made the oceans. The sun. The moon. Eye is just small. It's a small thing. Hallelujah. And he can do it. And he will do it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bible says, and I love this. He just took her by the hand. There are certain miracles. If you don't step forward, if you don't do something, that miracle will still be dormant. If you need, I used to say, if you need a house and you don't have the money, you don't need the money, you need God. And you have God inside of you. Go, do something. Just go out there. Go to the estate manager or estate department and say, I want a house. Can you show me what you have? Is that all you have? I want something big. 5-bedroom with swimming pool. Just look at it. I mean, does it cost you to look? It doesn't cost you to look. When you get home, you say, "Lord, I have done my part too. I have looked. Provide the money." That's how God works. That's what works in this generation. I mean, that's what works in this kingdom. I think I've told us my story before. There was no job. Then I received some allowance. He said, "I must pay tithe on this." I must pay tithe. So I paid tithe of what I wanted as my job. And before you know it, you see, you need to make up, you need to determine. Just like that woman with the issue of, if only you can do something, you are putting God at a position where he will not deny you. I think I've told us a story too about he's now a lawyer, a very big time lawyer in my country. Everyone had gotten the admission letter and his admission letter had not come. They're about to close everything. And he spoke to me about it and I said, "Oh, okay, just go and buy some exercise books. Put English 101. What are those your subjects that you do? Put, you know, in schools, those courses have names and letters." Or how many of you are students here? Let me see your hands up. So, can you tell me one of your courses? Yes.
Love it. Tell me one of your courses.
What did they give them a name? GNS something something 203. I said, okay, just go and buy it. Buy like 12. Begin to put their names. Just put any name. It doesn't matter if you don't know it because you are not there. Just put the names. And he did. And lo and behold, he was called. You only need to do your little part. Even if you don't need anything to live in this world, you need God. And if you have God, that's it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, somebody. This God I will serve, he's a great God. Now, I've heard of big men of God who are called to pray for the dead. Hallelujah. I hope I won't be in that situation one day. But if I were to be in that situation one day, I would do what Christ did. The Bible says, he took the child by the hand and lifted her up, arise. I will do my part and pick race and run away. You know why? If he didn't do it, it's not my doing. But this God is a good, he works in mysterious ways. Sometimes he's waiting for us just to take an action. Just do something. This year, this month, may your life open to great things in the name of Jesus. May the power of resurrection, may the power of life that is inside of you, take you farther in the mighty name of Jesus. You can be what you want to be. You can live the way you want to live. If you cannot see it with your spiritual eye, you cannot get there. So I want to encourage you, dream big. Don't dream small. Don't worry about how he's going to do it. If you begin to worry, your head is going to pop up with hypertension. Because you will think it to an extent that, no, it's not possible. But don't think about it. Just leave it to him. I mean, begin to think of those things he has done. In fact, when you begin to think of those things he has done, your faith will begin to rise. He brought down Goliath. Small boy. Goliath boy. Somebody came down. It's not by power. Neither is it by might. But by his spirit. And that spirit is inside of you. Hallelujah, somebody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, somebody. Somebody might tell me, oh, it's only Christ Jesus that did it. It's just because he's God. No. When you go to Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to 42, we won't read. When you get home, read. Bible talks about Paul, is it Peter? Hallelujah. Acts chapter 9. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
He said, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. The woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydia was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and the garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter pulled them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. and she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. I'm not going to read more than that. He is not different from you. Peter is a man like you, like myself. If the power of resurrection rests in you, you will do exploit. You will do exploit. You shall do exploit. That shall be your story in the mighty name of Jesus. The devil has no room to cheat you anymore. The devil lost long ago. The devil is just using the same system to deceive us, knowing fully that everything has been paid for, knowing that your loan and your credit, or rather your interest has been paid for. He's trying to take interest from you. You are not due for any interest. You are not due to pay him any respect. You are not due to take any shit from him. Sorry that I used that word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, somebody. You tell it to the devil, no. I am not going to take this nonsense from you. No, it's been paid for. How dare you ask me for it again? No, it's been paid for. We need to be bold and be strong like a lion. Say, no, devil, nah, not here. I think I told you a story of one of the men of God. His wife, he took in. And after about 3 months, the wife came and said, I've seen blood. Yeah. So you see blood, what's my own? Not in my house. And every month she was seeing blood, until she gave birth. He said, well, at least you have the baby. It doesn't concern me. The devil is a liar, is a failure. Whatsoever the devil is trying to put across to you, tell it to him. It's over. Amen. I carry the nature of God. Amen. I am above this. When that sin was put in the grave, it's over. I mean, there's no connection between me and you. We are divorced. I am married to Christ. Yes. May that be ours.
Thank you for listening. To keep in touch with our ministry, visit our website at www.streams.org.au and follow us on all social media platforms at streams.international. It is a blessing to share with you all our prophetic revelation teachings, and it's our prayer to see you transform into mature sons of God. Share this podcast with your friends and family. Be blessed, and until next time, Shalom.